from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation. It's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of the reasons for kosher. We know that in Parshat Re'eh, in Deuteronomy 14, and here in Parshat Shmini, in Leviticus chapter 11, the Torah discusses the rules of kosher. Animals are kosher if they chew their cud, split hooves. Certain birds of prey and other birds are eliminated from the list of kosher birds. And, of course, skins and fins and scales must be present for kosher fish. But the question is, why? What are the reasons for these prohibitions? So if we look in this parsha, Parshat Shmini, we find several indications of what the reason might be. Al teshaketsu et nafshotichem. It says you shouldn't make your soul or your life into a sheketz. A sheketz is an abomination of some sort. Ulo titamu bahem. Don't become defiled. Somehow by eating kosher, you become less pure, defiled, whatever it is, at least for Jews. And then it goes on to say that you should be holy because I am holy. There's some sort of connection with holiness. The question is, what sort of holiness? Is that like holiness as in like a holy person? As in, is it supposed to elevate us by eating kosher, but not eating not kosher? Or is it simply the word kadosh as in different? Hashem is different, different, different. Holy, holy, holy. Kadosh as in havdalah, someone who's separated, distinct for a particular purpose. We are holy to God. We're supposed to be dedicated to God. And these distinct foods make us different. It's interesting that with this simple law, the Torah God has made the Jews a distinct people. Because although we can socialize with anyone in the whole world, but if you keep the laws of kosher, there is a limit to the full social intercourse and contact with the Gentile and outside world when you're limited as to what sort of lunch you can have, what sort of dinner you can have, what sort of socialization you can have over food, because food is a social mixer. So maybe that's what it means to have holiness and distinction, is to remain a separate people. Again, not separate in some haughty sense, God forbid. Haughtiness is always forbidden, but rather separate in order to do our mission to carry out the Torah of God and to remain a distinct nation. Further, it goes on and mentions lavdil benatameh. There's an importance of making havdalah. As we mentioned, maybe that's the same word as kosher, really, as kadosh, the holiness and separation might be the same. But there's also the idea that we should make distinctions, that the world has distinctions. If you go back to Genesis 1, you see that there's things above the sky and below the sky. There's things on the earth, there's things in the sea. Everything's about sort of separations. And there are many laws that indicate separations, you know. You can't mix the linen and the wool. You can't plow with two different species, like a shor and a chamor, an ox and a donkey at the same time. There are these ways of keeping things separate, milk and the meat. So too here, there's kosher and there's non-kosher. Somehow living a life where we make distinctions is also important. There in Deuteronomy 14, Parshat Re'eh, there it begins the section by saying, Banim atem hashem lechem, that we are children of God. Is it connected to that? Because we know, an interesting fact, who knows what you had for supper last night? And who would care what you had for supper last night? I would argue only one person in the world really cares. Maybe sometimes a man's wife, but you know, your mother. Your mother cares what you had for dinner. And here we say, Banim Hashem atem Hashem, you are children of God. As children of God, He cares what we eat. Why this food, that food? That's not the point. The point is God says, look, I care what you eat. Don't eat this. But still, why these particular foods? It goes on to say, you're an Am Segula, you're supposed to be a treasured nation, some sort of a distinct nation among the nations. One verse there in Deuteronomy is very clear. Lo tochal kol toivah. Don't eat anything that I view as an abomination. So somehow these foods, pig, considered an abomination. It's like a cultural thing. For Jews, that's the abominable thing. Other nations might have other animal symbols of abomination for us, these are the abominable foods. Again, over and again, you can find in the Torah references to Kadosh, the idea of holiness, in relation to these non-kosher foods, also in connection with not mixing milk and meat. It says, Ki am Kadosh ata, Shemol kecha lo tvashagati. You are my holy nation. Don't see the a kid in its mother's milk, the distinction between milk and meat. However, that's just looking at the verses just as they are. Let's look at the commentaries from the medieval times and more modern times. Let's see what they have to say. So the Ramban asserts, Nachmanides, that these foods are somehow mitame, that these foods somehow cause some sort of impurity. And why is that a problem? Because we want to be lachinatz minu lakdusha. We want to prepare ourselves to be holy. In other words, if you want to be as a holy person, you have to prepare yourself, and somehow refraining from certain foods, that gives you greater holiness. Does that mean that these foods somehow contain some sort of unholiness? Interesting question. The Shadal, more modern commentator from the 19th century Italy, also says that it brings a pechitut ha-nefesh, it's something, it lowers your soul. Chizkuni says that there's a more practical element, that the impure means ignorant. He brings some sources to that, that the word impure can, the word nitzmetem can sometimes mean ignorant, and therefore, this is what it means, that somehow it increases our knowledge, our wisdom, as well. Rabbeinu Bachya, along the similar lines of medieval Spanish commentary, says that we want to lower our desires. In other words, we can eat whatever we want, but we limit certain things that we eat. So let's remember that as Jews, we're not supposed to be gluttons. I mean, gluttony is not a good thing, but kosher is just a way of limiting gluttony in some way. And therefore, hopefully when the gluttonous aspect goes down, the spiritual side of man goes up, and we were created, after all, for the spiritual attainment. One modern writer said that he thought there were five categories of reasons given for kosher. One is a matter of hygiene. Don't think that's so appealing to us as modern people, but that was one idea. These are somehow disgusting foods. Morality. Some sort of moral purpose in order to raise, as we said, to raise our moral level. Discipline. Nationality, to keep us separate. Mystical. There's some mystical spiritual notion. If you eat this, don't eat that, changes your spiritual state. Or simply matter of discipline. It's simply a matter of discipline. God wants to give us some discipline. You can't eat that. That exercise, that some things are forbidden, that itself is significant. Don't forget the Garden of Eden. Don't eat that fruit. What was wrong with that fruit? It's not really the point. What's wrong with that fruit? It could have been a grape, as far as the rabbis say. It could have been an etrog. It's not that there's anything wrong with the fruit. It's when God says don't eat something, that's what's wrong with it. It's a matter of discipline. Yeah, Barbanel completely rejects the hygienic notion. He says, the medical notion. He says, this is not a medical book. I mean, there are plenty of Gentiles walking around. They're perfectly robust. There's nothing wrong with them, just because they eat these foods. That he doesn't think. Kedis Yitzchak also says, God forbid, that you should say that that's the issue over here. Rather, it's to foster the health of the soul, says the Barbanel. Or the Kedis Yitzchak, the Rabbi Yitzchak Arama of 16th century Italy, he says, we want to keep the soul healthy. God created a pure heart within us, and we want to limit the immoral passions that eating too much or eating these particular foods might give us. Recanati was an earlier mystical writer from Italy, 13th century, Menachem Recanati, and he says that the soul cannot fulfill its mission without a cooperating body. And in order to enhance that body, we need to have the tools that we need. We need to have the right kind of body, and it requires certain types of foods to make it work. The Akira Yitzchak also emphasized the idea of self-control, that we want to have some abstention. Again, we're not interested in being absolute ascetics, but rather we're interested in having some self-control. There's that one thing that we can't eat. Diane Grunfeld from England in the 20th century, he thought that, that the notion that there are many things that need to be separate and it's part of the rhythm of life that God wanted us to maintain is that mixture of species is contrary to God's order of creation. So we're reminded that each creature is in accordance with its nature, and we're supposed to remain separate from these species as opposed to those species. We're supposed to make distinctions in life. We're supposed to be discerning Jews. Someone's equipped an observant Jew. An observant Jew means we notice different things. It's how many people look at ingredients as carefully as Orthodox or kosher-keeping Jews. How many people look at ingredients that carefully to know, is it made out of wheat or is it oats? Is an oat what type of species of grain or isn't it? Who cares about these things as much as an observant Jew does, because we're supposed to be discerning people, people who are kadosh, who make havdalot, who make distinctions as we're supposed to. Finally, Reb Samson Fal Hirsch says that, similar to what we saw in the Reconati, the human body is a instrument of the soul, and therefore we have to, it has to be prepared to do the proper things. And therefore you want to eat animals that have the right kind of characteristics. There's an idea that an animal, if we eat animals that are carnivorous, we won't have the right character. We're trying to develop our character, and animals that eat grass are pretty passive. They just sit around all day and they eat grass. So, not sure what he'd say about goats, a little bit not so docile, but he was hoping that the kosher animals really represent a more docile nature, and that's what we're trying to imbue in ourselves, a sense of being more passive and not as aggressive as these birds of prey that are forbidden and other carnivores, but rather we eat these grass-eating creatures, the herbivores, which are more docile, passive, and that's the kind of character we want to get into ourselves. So it's really a moral type of prohibition. So we've talked about a lot of different options. It's a matter of morality to increase our sense of ethics and our sense of who we are, what type of things we do. Is it to define who we are? So what you eat, it defines your national culture and separates you from others so that we can live out our national mission. Is it mystical? Is there some mystical notion inherent within these prohibited foods that would taint our souls? Is it a matter simply of discipline? Eat this, don't eat that. These are some of the ideas. But I think if you look in the Parsha carefully, clearly one of the ideas is that it's in order that we should be holy, shouldn't defile ourselves. These are notions that are clearly mentioned. What that means is open to the interpretations that we mentioned. The laws of kosher are somewhat mysterious. It doesn't say specifically, don't eat this because of that. I think we can see that Torah frames these laws in some sort of meaningful context. They could be among the laws that are chukim, that can't be explained. There is no reason despite everything we've said. And it's just simply a matter of following the will of God. However, perhaps there are some hints, even within the text itself, certainly the speculation of the medieval commentators, that indeed the laws of kosher, designed by God, like all mitzvot, the laws of God, as my father often pointed out, as it says in the Psalms, we read on Shabbos morning, the laws of God are sweeter than honey, they're more precious than gold, and tzadku yachtav, altogether, they make lots and lots of sense. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lemeth congregation for our discussion of reasons for kosher. Join us each week for a discussion of the holidays, Parsha, and the how-to videos as well. Thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.